Mini-episode 1012 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
We've gone through the bottom half of the top 32. I'm going to go up to 11 here so that we can take the top 10 in two chunks as deserves to be done. 16, Le'Veon Bell. He was 24 a year ago. The first time he came into a season last year, I believe, where there weren't either injury or off-field questions swirling over him, which has kind of held down his ranking years past. I will say this, too. He's becoming a guy where you look at it and you look at the workload that he's had year after year, and I flash ahead to, geez, Earl Campbell's getting around with a walker these days. So you don't know where the cliff's going to be for a guy with his workload. He clearly deserves to still be on the top 32 in some form or fashion, but he's as low as he is because of how much he's been used, and we'll see how much in free agency 2019 teams are willing to pay for what he's already done as opposed to what he's got ahead of him, because that guy's got Albert Pujols written all over him with his next contract. Number 15, Tyron Smith, 19th the year before. A hardy perennial on this list, oftentimes the best offensive lineman on this list, as he is again. Number 14, Khalil Mack, 4th a year ago. He was not necessarily complicit in the Raiders' defense falling off last year, but was a part of it and quite possibly affected. Well, not quite possibly. He was affected by the circumstances around him. How much of that he could have done more about is something that I have a feeling you and I will probably discuss, Chris. Number 13, Luke Kuechly, not on the list a year ago. This is a guy where, again, the next concussion with him could be the last. That's one of these things, and it's sad to say, because this is a guy where if he plays long enough, it's a slam dunk Hall of Fame career. And at various points along the way, he hasn't been on the list because some years he's not on the list because what's still uppermost in your mind is, geez, that guy finished in a physical wreck last year. Some years he's on the list because, wow, look at what he did last year. Last year was one of those wow years. Number 12, David Johnson, 6th a year ago. He was a guy who had an injury last year that kept him out a good chunk of the year. I look at it like it's to his hand, right? That could heal in 4 weeks, 8 weeks at the longest, whatever, in the off season. No reason he shouldn't be 100% in training camp, unlike Odell Beckham. So I distinguished on the injuries there. Number 11, Calais Campbell. He was not on the list a year before. And again, 10 years into the league, he is giving some of his best production yet. One of those class of 2008 guys. And in Jacksonville, a big, big part of them becoming Saxonville there a year ago. So 16 to 11, those are the guys, Chris.
Yeah, I think your comments on Le'Veon Bell are dead on. The usage has been so heavy with Todd Haley and the Steelers, and Todd Haley now with Browns, and I'm curious as to how he handles running backs in Cleveland. But in Pittsburgh, I mean, it's been the Le'Veon Bell show. I mean, you know, the catching, the receiving, the running. He's basically escaped real injury. I worry about that. At some point, when you use that much, it's like, man, at some point there's going to be a breakdown or something happen. It's exposure to risk, right? The more you touch the ball, the more you're being tackled, the more chances are of an injury, a severe injury act.
That's right.
And the fact that he escapes that is amazing. And it's like, you know, what point, it's like being an actuary for an insurance company. What point does that run out? I think the ranking is fine. One could argue he could possibly be a little higher. You know, maybe number, I would probably have him up there at number 11. But your discussion about his contract is fascinating to me, because to me it's going to be a real test of the smart teams in this league versus the dumb teams. And that's, who's going to pay a king's ransom for what he did in Pittsburgh?
Right.
I got to be honest. You know, I'm interested to fast forward to next year, offseason, because Le'Veon Bell may be disappointed that there may be almost nobody that's willing to. The numbers that he's asking for, you know, balking at, you know, if the reports are true, at the $14.5 million a year that roughly that Pittsburgh was offering, he may look back on that and wish he had taken it. Because I'm sorry, with the change in that position and the young talent you can find in the draft, and that even if you can't get a Le'Veon Bell in your team, you know, can you get 93% of Le'Veon Bell for, $700,000 a year? When you start to put into function the cap ramifications, I think Le'Veon, this is going to be a real interesting test, because I think Le'Veon Bell may get into next year and find that nobody's willing to pay that price, or he's got very few suitors. And I think that'll be a test of dumb front offices versus smart front offices. If I'm a team and I'm a fan of a team that suddenly starts wooing him and they're talking $14, $15 million a year, I'm questioning the intelligence of that front office immediately.
Right.
Because you're talking about a lot of money for a guy who is, you know, going to have a few years good, you know, a few good years left, but will undoubtedly not be worth that contract. And in fact, if you look at his numbers the last 2 years, there's been drop-off.
Right.
On yards per carry. I mean, the wear is starting to happen. So that is, to me, regardless of the ranking, he is going to be the most fascinating story about where this league is going in the next offseason in terms of what his value is going to be pegged at eventually. Tyron Smith, absolute stud. I think you've got him ranked about right. Just an absolute, again, another guy stays healthy, he's got Hall of Fame credentials. Khalil Mack, I would have higher. I've been a Khalil Mack fan. Obviously, I watched him for 4 years at Buffalo. I knew what a stud he was. I will say that his struggles last year, if you can call them, drop-off, are, I think, more related to the fact that he was trying to do too much on what was an awful defense.
Mm-hmm.
They were asking him to try to be the Band-Aid all over the place, and he was trying to. And when you get into those situations, it overall performance can struggle. When you have a guy that talented and you're relying on to basically, be the equivalent of three men on the defense, that's a hard position to put a guy in. Luke Kuechly, again, back to injury. I want to second what you said. He has Hall of Fame talent if he can stay healthy. And I'm like you, though. He gets another severe concussion, and obviously there's different grades of concussion. He gets one more. I would walk up to him and say, it's time to hang it up, man. Your life is way too important. He's had too many dingers.
Right.
And he's a guy that I worry that may already be past that line in terms of his future health.
I do, too.
And is he deserving on this list? 100%. I mean, when he's healthy and 100%, he makes that defense go. But he's a guy that, honestly, he should already be considering walking away.
Right.
His family and friends, he gets another one. His wife, whoever, they got to get in his ear and get him out of this game. Because, some guys don't know. They love the game so much. They love to play. They love the competition. You talk to veterans that are in their 60s, And they're, you talk about, they're in a walker or they can barely talk, And they'll tell you, oh, I did it all over again.
Right.
I loved it that much. And I think we're reaching a point as a society where we don't want to see these guys like that anymore.
Nope.
And I think that's the reason for a lot of the rule changes going on. And, I hope Luke doesn't get injured in that way again. I hope he stays on the field and is healthy all year. And if he does, he'll be worthy of that 13 ranking. David Johnson, he looks like he's back at full steam. He's a guy that could be top 10, but I think putting him at 12 is reasonable based on him, missing the whole season last year. Lucky me, I had the first pick in my draft last year and chose him.
Right.
So, in the first quarter of game of week one, my fantasy season was over, and he's looked so far in camp and in last night's preseason game with the Cardinals, he looks like he's at 100% and already looking amazing.
Yep.
All right, so Kelly Campbell, I wouldn't have him on this list, and I know you're going to say, but he had a great year.
Okay.
He had a great year.
Okay.
You know, like you said, 10-year vet. He came over, and he was one of those pickups that were people like, yeah, okay, they signed him. A good pro, a guy that was certainly not going to the Hall of Fame. I think he's also a product of the overall defense around him was so strong. It allowed him a lot of one-on-ones, and it allowed him to sort of dominate in a way that he had never been afforded before. I don't think he's my 11th best player in the league. I think he had last season, let's say, a 11th best performance of the season.
Okay.
But I don't think he's – I wouldn't put him as my 11th best player. Meaning, if I was doing a draft for this season as a GM and I had all these players to pick from, and I was picking number 11 in, you know, the draft is coming up and I'm pick number 11, I'm the GM, he's not my pick at number 11. So, you know, if Le'Veon Bell was on the board for 2018, I would take him over, you know, over Campbell. So a little bit of, I would just depart with you on that one. He had a great season. He's a great pro. Sounds like he's a hell of a good dude in the locker room, but a top 11 talent in the NFL, I don't think so.
Interesting. And again, something that I have said before on the show, more times when it comes to fantasy than with a list like this, but it's equally applicable to both, that because we don't often think about this at such an elementary type level. Where somebody is in the rankings, it's the balance between upside and downside. And when you look at this list, aren't Le'Veon Bell and Luke Kuechly the best examples of that in terms of where you slot them?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some truth to that, sure. I mean, if Kuechly gets injured, he's not on the list at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, when he's healthy, the only thing I was thinking Kuechly is he's shown that since day one in the league that he's that good.
Right.
For Campbell, I look at it and go, he had a great year.
Sure.
You know, and I think a lot of that, like I said, the function of the defensive system and the fact that he had so much talent around him that he was able to take advantage of that, and good on him.
Yeah.
But when you look at overall raw talent, I wouldn't have him at number 11.
Very interesting. Well, getting into the top 10 here, going from 10 down to 6, DeAndre Hopkins, 10, not on the list a year ago. That was the absolute nadir of the Houston quarterback situation, was that they had managed to knock down his apparent value to where it was the year before. And you see with, again, Deshaun Watson, another guy like Goff that I said the Browns should have managed to get, you see what happens with him with real quarterbacking. So in retrospect, he might have been too low a year ago, not being on the list. He's probably back where he belongs. Another guy you could say that about is Joey Bosa, 31 a year ago, which does have me sort of second-guessing myself along with that and Drew Brees. I've got him 9 right now. He is, at this point, clearly one of the best edge rushers in the league. Number 8, he's been in about this spot the last couple of years, Russell Wilson. We start to get into the quarterbacks in this league that are big-time winners. So 8 this year, 7 a year ago, a guy who... The rap was that when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, that it was the defense carrying them. I thought it was an unfair rap. As time has gone along in Seattle, he has become much more important to what they're doing. And with all the talent that they have lost since then, they wouldn't be where they still are, which is, quite frankly, a borderline playoff team at best. They wouldn't even be at that point if it wasn't for Russell Wilson carrying them. Number 7, Von Miller. It just goes to show you at this point, it's hard to stay in the upper reaches. He was 2 a year ago. He didn't necessarily do a lot to deserve falling. It was not a banner year for the Denver defense. Obviously a lot better than it was for their offense. But Von Miller falls 5 spots, but that's more just a function of other guys jumping ahead of him. Like number 6, Carson Wentz, not on the list a year ago. And I got to think, Chris, that... If you were still wondering about whether Jared Goff belonged on the list at 22, you must really be raising your eyebrows at me having Carson Wentz at number 6.
Well, all right. Carson Wentz, and I'll get back to him, but, you know, when he was a guy that I loved coming out of college. And I was on the record, you know, October in the middle of his last season in college, you know, of being in love with that guy. I mean, but I understood... The theory behind why the Browns didn't take him, because the rest of the team was, as the French would say, merde. Mm-hmm. And so as much as I you know, if they had stuck there, I would have taken him. I felt about him the way you felt about Goff. And I remember you and I having those conversations again and again and about the two of them. Now, let me come back to Wentz. DeAndre Hopkins, absolute stud, top 10, you know, no issue with that ranking. Joey Bosa, number 9. I think you've got him about right now. Last year was too low. But again, that, I don't fault you for that because that's sort of a show me kind of thing, right?
Sure.
Show me that you're worthy of being, you know, and he's proven that, man, he is all that in a bag of chips.
That's right.
And Russell Wilson, you know, Mr. Steady, right? I mean, that team is basically, it's just a dumpster fire around him. No offensive line. The defense is more interested in politics than anything. You know, you've got a space cadet as a coach, but, you know, he just produces.
Yep.
They win because of Russell Wilson.
Yep.
And, you know, that guy just, he makes the trains go in Seattle. And, you know, and look, the amazing thing about Russell Wilson, he's so fluid. It's not that he does any one thing so great. He's just so good. He's just so solid at everything. You know,
yep.
Reading the defense, making the throws. He doesn't have a big arm, but he can make enough of the throws.
Right.
You know, he doesn't look to run, but if he has to run, man, he'll shred you. He's just one of these guys that stays with himself, and staying within himself is good enough to be great.
Right.
He's on his way to a Hall of Fame career. Von Miller, I mean, come on. I mean, yeah. I mean, top 10, he's proven it year after year after year that he is, you know, a top 10 future Hall of Famer. The guy, you know, stays healthy. He's on his way to camp. I mean, so good. So good. And it'll be interesting to see if Bradley Chubb lives up to the hype and opposite of him in that Denver defense and what kind of wrecking crew they can become. Obviously, the Browns chose to go with Denzel Ward and believing that Ogba was, you know, is ready for a breakout season and was having a great season last year. Was starting to until he got hurt. And so the Browns obviously made a calculation that they already have a Chubb-type guy on the roster. Back to Carson Wentz. So I think Carson Wentz is a top-10 talent. But let me play devil's advocate. How come you don't have Nick Foles number 7? And I say that because, in, you know, I'm being sarcastic, but at the same time, you know, Nick Foles, the last 3 games of last year and then, like, 3 games in the playoffs, including the Super Bowl, you take those 6 games, he had better numbers than Carson Wentz did in that offense. So I look at this and I go, okay, Wentz is good. I believe he's good since he was at, you know, since he was in college. But also, man, how much of that good was a function of what was around him? Because up into that, until that moment last year, Nick Foles had been, I mean, you know, not that great. He had that one good year in Chip Kelly's system. And then, obviously, he was afflicted with the curse of Jeff Fisher.
Right. We saw that.
As so many players are, you know, that tried to survive the Jeff Fisher curse.
That's right.
But my question is a serious one. I mean, 6 games is a pretty good segment playing, and also don't forget that 6 games you're playing to get into the playoffs. Well, they were going, but I mean, for playoff position, and now you're in the playoffs, you're playing the best teams, and he had better numbers than Carson Wentz. So what I'm saying to you is, what I would say to Carson Wentz is, dude, I think you're top 10 talent. Show me this year, you know, because if you're better than Nick Foles, why did he have better numbers than you? And arguably against better competition when you look at that 6 games.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
I'm just going to throw that. That's my curveball to you.
Okay, and here's what I'm going to say, is that obviously the Super Bowl is the most important game of them all, and I can't take anything away from what Nick Foles did there. I look at the previous 2 games, and again, good friend Joe Stazak from 97.5, the Fanatic in Philadelphia, I had him on the show a couple times during the Philly playoff run, and he agreed with my takes on this. The Atlanta game, they didn't win that because of Nick Foles. He managed the game competently. And I felt like people were really overreacting about, OMG, Nick Foles, just because he didn't pee on himself. So credit to him for managing the game, and it happened, and they did it. The Minnesota game, again, I'm not somebody who gives as much credit to, and you know and I know, the dynamic of a game. When it's out of hand early, I mean, that guy was not driving in congested traffic, shall we say. You know what I mean? Minnesota's out of it early. The crowd's on your side. You're feeling no pain. It's only the Super Bowl.
There's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. And I'm not questioning Carson Wentz as a top 10 player.
Right.
But I am saying, should Nick Foles be on this list?
Okay, listen.
Maybe not. You know, and he's thinking, all right, and I'm doing this to you.
Yeah.
I don't think Nick Foles should be on this list.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
I do think that it's an interesting conversation point, though, that how much of that was... the overall offensive talent in terms of, you know, either Wentz or Foles getting credit for, and that happens sometimes, for what was going on around them. So even though I'm a Wentz fan, I'm saying I want to see more. I want to see it, and no one's talking about these changes this year when it comes to these teams, but you've got teams that are losing their OCs, all right? Frank Reich's gone, and everybody's like, Eagles going back to the Super Bowl, and I'm like, man, I think you're downplaying how important Frank Reich was.
Right.
And teams don't usually lose an OC that's that valuable and then just the next year pick right off where they left off, i.e. look at what the Falcons did last year. They early on, they struggled to get sort of on track. So I think there's a lot of people sort of downplaying the importance of guys like Pat Shurmur in Minnesota and Frank Reich in Philly. Those teams, I think, early on the first half of the season should expect a little bit of a drop off.
I think that's very possibly the case there. And again, the whole thing about Foles versus Wentz, I mean, again, and you go back to, with me, the conceptual and then the sort of schematics late 2006 and early 2007. I mean, this is sort of the epitome of what we anticipated this show being, is a way to take these kind of barstool discussions about, what about so-and-so versus so-and-so, and putting it in any kind of a framework. So, yes, I mean, you bringing up Foles, I mean, that's the very idea, is to look at this from all different types of angles, which we have done thus far, and which I know we will do in our final five that we are going through. If I had said a year ago that we would have two Rams in the top five, there would be a decent amount of surprise. You might expect one of these two guys to be here. The other guy wouldn't be a surprise based on where he was the year before. These guys are 5 and 4, respectively. Number 5, Aaron Donald, he was 11 a year ago, so he's not as big of a surprise. Hands down, the best interior defensive lineman in the NFL right now, as he continues to show. Him winding up next to Sue, who, like I said, he's not what he used to be, but, boy, that is still going to be something when you put those two together. Todd Gurley at number 4, not on the list a year ago. An absolutely brutal follow-up to his rookie season. But coming out there and getting it done, he really established himself. Last year, he was the best running back in the NFL. I don't want to hear about Le'Veon Bell. Todd Gurley was the man last year, and particularly down the stretch, and deserves to be in this spot. Number 3, Antonio Brown. He's been number 5 the year before and has been in the top 10 a couple of times the last couple of years as we've done the list, and I think probably at least 3 times in the top 5. That's basically where he's belonged based on his production. Number 2, Tom Brady, second a year ago. And again, you have pointed this out. I give you credit as a child, Chris. You have said, and you will no doubt be one of the guys ahead of the curve when it happens, that the cliff is coming quicker than any of us tend to think. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but he's one of these guys you kind of keep going until you see otherwise. And again, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Number 1, Aaron Rodgers. Number 1 a year ago. And that's a thing where, you could pick nits. You could say this is a guy who's had some injuries. 2 times in his career he has missed significant stretches. I think his collarbones might be made out of sugar at this point. But, be that as it may, if the guy holds up, there's nobody I'd rather have in the league. And, again, this is supposed to be a top 32 without any questions, but that's how highly I regard him. I think he's the best quarterback of his generation, which Tom Brady is almost sort of a previous generation as far as when he started. So I can kind of have it both ways when I say Rodgers is the best of his generation. But again, for what he has done, I regard his injuries basically as much as I joked about them as being flukes. I've got him staying atop the list here because he is the one guy, if I was starting a franchise, I start with him. So two Aarons in the top five, two Rams in the top five, a lot of continuity at one and two. Take it away, Chris.
Hey, I got no issue with any of these top five, and I would say that Aaron Donald at number five is totally worthy. The guy is a wrecking machine. To sort of move away from his ability on the field, which is documented. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what they pay him. And it, to me, it's an interesting philosophy as we get into future, where the league is going, back to that conversation and salary cap and how where the league is going versus in rules and play versus salary cap. How many teams start investing huge dollars in guys like Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack? You know, there's a school of thought out there that says, and you don't pay Aaron Donald, you know, $17 million a year for a defensive, you know, for a tackle, that you can, you know, get a lot of value elsewhere within your salary cap for those dollars. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this evolves in the next couple of years. As far as his on-the-field talent, I mean, come on, the guy's amazing. And I look back not long ago about some of the rankings that had been coming out when he came out of Pitt. And, talk about outing everybody whiffing on that guy.
Right.
To what he was as an NFL player, which shows you that, you know, this stuff is an art, not a science.
Right.
And Todd Gurley, you know, look, finally, you know, goodbye Jeff Fisher, and, you know, he's everything we thought he was, which is an absolute amazing offensive weapon. And I could argue putting him at three and putting Antonio Brown at number four, because Todd Gurley, I think, does so much more in the overall offense versus Antonio Brown just going deep and catching bombs from Big Ben, which, by the way, your list, 32, no Big Ben. Interesting. I understand that because, you know, he's a Miami Redhawk, and no Miami Redhawk could ever be in the top.
Well,
top of
it. And a squealer. It does go beyond that, in fairness, when you're looking at his age and everything like that, and the number of quarterbacks. Again, you and I might differ. I'm an upside guy. That's why I take a guy like Goff ahead of him. I'm gonna gamble on the upside.
Yeah, and I think Big Ben's got a few years left in the tank, and he'll still be productive. And he hasn't had much drop off,
right?
In terms of what he is as a quarterback, and I'm not here to debate whether he should be in the top 32. He probably shouldn't be, but I was just going to point out that we got Antonio Brown, but the guy who's thrown him isn't there.
Right.
Tom Brady, number two. I mean, look, yeah. I mean, Tom Brady is beating the odds on everything. He just turned 41. I do wonder about, you know, Julian Edelman's failed drug test for an unknown substance. And now I cast an eye at Tom and go, that aside, you know, you cannot deny the fact that he has just been amazing for so long. And a lot of that Patriots roster has been garbage at times. And he's just made it work again and again and again. And it'll be interesting this year because I would say that this is the worst offensive line he's had in a long time.
Yeah.
And probably not a good time to have a poor offensive line play when you're talking about somebody like Tom Brady, 41.
Right.
So why, you know, fans should keep an eye on that this year. Did he start getting hit a bunch, you know, and then suddenly does he get injured?
Right.
I think Brian Hoyer should be really getting himself mentally ready that he might be playing a few games this year.
Right.
Because at some point, you know, Father Time wins out on this thing.
That's right.
And but to this point, I mean, if you're gonna have a team for 1 year and, you know, you're gonna have a quarterback, I mean, how do you not, you know, want Tom Brady on your team? The guy just does it.
Right.
And I agree with you, number one, Aaron Rodgers. I have said for a number of years, looking at these rosters, and you've heard me say it, that I have believed that Green Bay had just as lousy a roster as Cleveland for a number of years, and that the difference was Aaron Rodgers, that he is a force multiplier upon a force multiplier.
Right.
And he makes everything better. He is the ultimate Band-Aid for average coaching and a below-average roster. And finally, last year, we had that my theory put to test. When Green Bay came to Cleveland and played Cleveland without Aaron Rodgers, and that two garbage teams went to overtime.
Right.
And you could argue that other than a screw-up, Cleveland should have actually beaten Green Bay.
Right.
So my theory that Green Bay's roster is junk, I think they've upgraded a little bit this year, and that they were really on par with Cleveland, and shows how important a quarterback has been, the lack thereof for 20 years for Cleveland, and why they've been so bad. If you had Aaron Rodgers all these years on Cleveland, they're probably in the playoffs a whole bunch. And because I think that the rosters were very comparable in terms of being awful.
Yep.
And I think if I'm Aaron Rodgers, and this is probably sacrilege up in Wisconsin, but I'm Aaron Rodgers, I don't sign that extension. Now, I let the league come to me. I know he's saying all the right things about staying in Green Bay. But I will say this. I think there is a lot of truth to the fact that that regime has not done right by him. That they could have been to more Super Bowls had they gone out and gotten a few players, had they drafted a little bit better, which, you know, again, warning sign, Cleveland fans, a bunch of those guys are now in your front office.
That's true.
So I think that, you know, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I want to test the market. I mean, you're telling me, let's put it this way. Hey, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you know, boy, how good would Jacksonville be if Aaron Rodgers were her quarterback?
Right.
Undefeated, 3-4 Super Bowls in a row, you know, not to use the words of LeBron, but not one, not two, not three. I mean, I'm sorry, but I think Aaron Rodgers, if he doesn't feel like that team, they're improving that roster to where it should be to make them compete for Super Bowls legitimately, then I think he should entertain the idea of bolting and going somewhere where they have a roster. You know, like a Jacksonville, and, you know, seeing what kind of damage he can do. But, you know, I think all of that speaks to that he is the number one player in the league. He is the most talented and deserving of your number one rank.
Well, what a media circus that would be. And circling back around to the couple of allusions that you made there, are you saying that we would be seeing in the winter of 2019 that dweeby little Jim Gray hosting The Decision Part 2 with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, Aaron Rodgers would never do something that lame. and just think, I will say this, I'll take a shot at Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's a very good dude. I don't think he's very good in the locker room. I don't think guys will say it, but I don't think he's got much in the way of friends in the league. I think they all realize he's talented. But I think if you cracked open some players that have played with him, you know, and you sat them down confidentially, I don't think a lot of guys really like him personally. Now, you don't have to, right? Because you could be that amazing and, you know, you want to win, right?
Right.
But I don't, you know, I will take that shot at Aaron. I've got the sense that he's a bit of a loner. He doesn't have a lot of friends in the league. And he's probably, on a personal level, not particularly all that liked, but it doesn't matter. You remember SportsCenter covering the Peyton Manning drive from the airport to the Broncos facility?
Right.
Coming off a major shoulder injury?
Right.
Like it was literally the O.J. Bronco chase?
Right.
You know, following the caravan?
Right.
Can you imagine if Aaron Rodgers said, all right, I'm out of here? And went out there and visited teams in every, you know, in 5 or 6 markets and made them compete for him. What an absolute circus that would just be from a anticipation standpoint and fans going crazy, all desperately trying to, you know, to get a Hall of Fame quarterback still in his prime.
I would agree with that. And that's a thing where, and yeah, some of the things about him being an interesting guy behind the scenes, shall we say. That kind of stuff has been out there for a while. And I'm not sure how much this relates to, it probably doesn't relate to his on-field judgment at all, but may I say that I depart from 99.9% of American men And I would not agree with the notion that Olivia Munn to Danica Patrick is a lateral move at worst. I would not agree with that.
Yeah, that's not a lateral move. But again, back to who he is. I mean, that relationship, he didn't talk to his family for years.
Right.
I don't want to get off on a tangent talking about, the human being.
Sure.
Because that's not what this is about.
Right.
But, man, it made me question a lot about who you are, that you're willing to walk away and not talk to your family because of your girlfriend. I mean, geez. Now, on the field decision making, he's fantastic. I'm selfish, right? I want to see the Aaron Rodgers free agency, tour. I want to see it.
Right.
I think it would just be amazing to witness. But, you talk about, another guy that could change the way contracts get done in the NFL. If Kirk Cousins can basically get a guaranteed deal, how would Aaron Rodgers not get a 5-year, completely guaranteed deal from a team?
Right. That's true.
It's $33 million a year for 5 years, all guaranteed. Pay me $150 million right now up front.
Right. And I will say, and in all fairness, Aaron Rodgers' brother, he was on The Bachelor, wasn't he? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so it's a thing where, couple instances here. Let's say I blow up big, and God forbid my sister-in-law gets hit by a bus. I don't want my brother being able to leverage my fame to go on The Bachelor. You know what I'm saying? I can kind of see Aaron Rodgers looking cross-eyed at him. I think my brother might be beyond the age where they would take him on The Bachelor. But in such a world, let's just play it out here. In such a world, I wouldn't want a family member exploiting my fame.
Would you really begrudge your brother getting an opportunity to be on a TV show and maybe extend his media career?
All gravy trained off of me? I mean, I don't mean to sound selfish, but I mean, I don't know. I'd like to think that I could, if I could help him, it would be in ways that wouldn't necessarily be in such a gravy train kind of a way. I don't know.
I don't have a sibling, so I don't know that dynamic, how that works, but I can't imagine being, side-eyed at my brother for just because he's my brother taking advantage of my fame, especially when it doesn't do me any harm. I didn't lose money. It didn't cost me anything. Yeah, he got onto a TV show because he's my brother, but look, the world has tolerated Jim Belushi. So would John really hate the fact that Jim has been able to make a career? I mean, I can't imagine you'd begrudge your brother that much.
Well, and here's the thing.
Stupid TV show.
Here's the thing, and I'm proud to say my brother's doing great. There's nothing he would probably need from me, but I don't want to sound like a dick.
I was going to say, I have a feeling that this is going to happen this way. It would be the other way around. Great training your brother. I mean, let's be honest here.
You know what? I'm nothing if not consistent. I wouldn't do that to my brother either. I would want to use my fame and money and whatever to help my brother, but in ways that have more dignity than The Bachelor. I think that's the way I'm looking at it. Like, if Aaron Rodgers is looking at his brother going, this is how you choose to leverage me being Aaron Rodgers, rather than, something where I could help you with it, we could work together. I just, that's part of the thing, too,
he's a millennial, right? I mean,
right.
Going on The Bachelor seems par for the course. There is no dignity. you just pimp yourself out to any Instagram model / TV show, whatever you can do to have your 10 seconds of fame. I mean, you talk about a generation that's addicted to it.
Absolutely.
We're way off.
We are.
For the poor listeners of this episode, we are way off tangent. let's bring it back and wrap this thing up.
Yeah. Our NFL top 32, rather than a debate on Aaron Rodgers' brother and the merits of his career choices. But, yeah, that's our top 32 list. And, again, it is in Fantasy Football Draftology 2018. You can get that right there. Download it off of FantasyDraftHelp.com or the FDHLounge.com. The main page and the football page at FantasyDraftHelp.com. And, again, like I said, going through and doing things, we go beyond fantasy football in here. This is one of these things that kind of proves that. We've got some college football coverage in here. You'll be glad to know, Chris, that when I was making my picks by conference, I have the scrappy, fighting Bobcats of Ohio emerging as the MAC champions this year. So there's all kinds of predictions. Well, hope springs eternal, doesn't it? So, you know.
I've just been down the road too many times. You know, I expect 12-0 based on the talent on this team and the schedule, and we'll finish 7-5. And, you know, your MAC East champs beat Buffalo.
Had enough of that. Been there, seen that. But you can check all of that out. Our team UQB ratings, we're applying that to teams as opposed to just in fantasy last year. So our ultimate quantitative baseline for all teams coming into this year. All kinds of things aside from, yes, also the meat and potatoes, fantasy football coverage with a mock draft in there as well. Check that all out. But again, we always like to use that list to get, again, some content here. It's fun to break it down. It's fun to go back and forth. And like I said, it harkens back to a lot of what we were talking about of the original idea of the FDH Lounge. So who better to do it with than one of my fellow original dignitaries? Chris, thanks so much for being a part of this today. Really appreciate it.
Hey, Rick, 90 minutes later, I'm glad we got this 20-minute segment done.
Well, this is good. Spoiler alert for the listeners, this is getting cut into two pieces. But, yeah, we will get that up and going. And, again, appreciate you being on. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today in the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.